All right, we've been teaching on spiritual warfare and how we as a church are in a battle right now, that we're in the midst of a war, and that we need to learn how to live victoriously in this time. And God has prepared some things for us, and we want to make sure that we get the things that God has for us. So, we started off with Ephesians chapter 6. This is kind of the warfare book of the New Testament, if you will. And look what it says in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, what? Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I'll stop right there. In this spiritual warfare, this time of spiritual warfare, we're talking about us being able to live a victorious life as Christians, and also us being able to fulfill the plan that God has for this earth and for our lives. So now we are saying that we're getting into a place where we started the last two times I was here, facing the ites, that word I-T-E-S, and you'll see what we're talking about in just a few moments. Now, this, what we said, and let me just reiterate just for a moment, is that because of Adam's transgression, the earth was then ruled or taken over by Satan and his demonic host because of Adam's transgression. And the one who was behind, of course, Adam's transgression was the devil. And he used the body of a serpent to get in to talk to Eve. And the Bible says Eve was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. Now, that tells us something about staying under authority. When you're under authority, the authority is God's plan to protect your life. And so the tendency to come out from under authority, you get subject to things. So you and I want to always stay under authority. First, the authority of God's word. We want to always make sure we're there because it's designed to protect us. Now, what happened was there was sin. And because of that sin, the curse came into the earth. Let me just show you something. This is just kind of a side trip now, but let me just show you this. Look at Romans chapter 5, if you will. Romans chapter 5. Now, how many of you know that God blessed Adam and he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it? How many of you remember that? Okay, that's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And subdue it. Now notice he blessed him first. And then he said, be fruitful to him, to Adam. This is the first words Adam heard. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. Subdue it means to tread down and to keep under. So God must have known that there was going to be an alien spirit in this earth, but Adam was supposed to do it, subdue it. Now, so Adam had the ability to really command the devil to leave the garden or whatever have you. He had that ability, but that he didn't act on his authority. And a lot of authority that God's people have today, they have it, but they're not acting on that authority. And so therefore the enemy talks them out of that authority or makes them feel that there's really no real consequence in prayer. That when we pray, because they've heard other people pray, well, I'm praying about it. I just hope, oh man, let me tell you, I'm getting my prayer to the point where when I pray something, I want to be able to tell you it's going to happen at 10 o'clock next Tuesday morning. You know what I mean? I mean, you can do that with prayer. You can get that fine. Your faith, like Brother Roberts, Oral Roberts said, he said, you know, this man could use his faith like a doctor uses a scalpel. Boy, he pinpoints it, you know. And you could do that with it because, you know, prayer doesn't make faith work. Faith makes prayer work. And so now what we're saying is that people have misunderstood or not comprehended the power of prayer and their authority to do things. And I think I shared the story with you where Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, was seeking God and some things were not happening and just seeking God and doing some fasting and just praying before God. And all of a sudden, Jesus appeared. Now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus appeared. And Jesus was beginning to talk to him. And as he was beginning to talk to him, a little demon began to interfere by coming between them and began to start saying, yap, 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 yap. And he said that he could hardly hear what Jesus was saying, and he was straining to hear, and he got frustrated with it. He said, in the name of Jesus, come down. And the demon hit the floor. And then he commanded the demon to leave, and the demon limped on out the door. He saw all of this, of course, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit. But Jesus said something to him. He said, if you hadn't done anything about that demon, I couldn't have. He said, Lord, now wait a minute now. Wait, you got to tell me that again. He said, no. If you hadn't done anything about that demon, I couldn't have. Now, isn't that something? It means that God has given the authority of the entire earth over to us. And if we don't do anything about the demon, he can't. Because he has to work through our authority. Got it? If I give you my watch and I want to use it, I got to ask you for it. Why? Because it doesn't belong to me anymore. It belongs to you. I heard a man preach the other day. His name is Jesse Duplantis. How many of y'all ever heard of him? He was preached an excellent message in Brother Copeland's Anaheim meeting. But he preached on God's, on our ownership. He said that one of the things happens is people get a new car or get something. They say, well, this is the Lord's car. Now, the Lord gave it to you. And the Lord is saying, well, it's your car. And you say, well, it's the Lord's car. Now, because nobody took possession of it, the devil is after it, busy tearing it up. Why? Because nobody's taking ownership. He said the only reason that the devil got into the garden and was able to do what he did is because Adam failed to take ownership. Boy, that's a revelation, man. So now what we're seeing is that God has turned this earth over to us. And it's up to us not only to have authority, but to execute authority. So we got to see the power of prayer. God has given us prayer so that we can execute authority. It's our way of executing authority. We pray things. We command things. We speak things. You know, I'm telling you, I'm calling in stuff and I'm watching stuff moving, you know. I'm saying everything that was held up for me and everything that was supposed to come to me, I command every spirit that has been holding it. I command them. I command right now affliction and torment on them until they let it go in the name of Jesus. And I'm telling you, the violent have to take it. How? By force. You got to take it. The devil's not going to just give something over to you, especially the wealth of this earth. No way. So I'm saying back to this authority thing, making sure we exercise authority. Let's read Luke chapter 10, please, because I still want to get that in your spirit, because you got to get it in there. You got to know that one can put a what? 1,000 to flight. Keep going, keep going. Two can put 10. You show up here with some saints that come in here for Tuesday or Friday or Saturday prayer, and you show up with them, you're not wrapping two together. You're wrapping 15, 20, 30, 40, 150. You're wrapping, you're putting demons to flight. You're breaking through things. If you take one stick of dynamite and you got this big, thick brick wall and you throw it up against that, boom, it blows, but all the wall doesn't come down. Well, the next time you know to wrap two sticks together. Come on. If I can wrap two of y'all together, I can get some dynamite. Come on now. If I can wrap three of them together, come on. Folks, this thing is powerful. It's only the devil that tries to talk you out of prayer. It's only the devil that tries to tell you it doesn't mean anything. You can get up in the morning and pray in tongues for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. Just pray in tongues. And then decree some things. Just decree some things. Watch your day. Watch how different your day is. You can get a job within 24 hours. Oh, Lord have mercy. That came out of the Holy Ghost. That's prophetic. Talking about, well, ain't no jobs. Ain't no jobs. The devil, tell him to give it up. Not only that, what job do you want? Come on now, we can call in whatever job you want. We can move a factory into your backyard. This earth don't belong to the devil nor his bunch. It belongs to God's people, and we are to take authority over it. Boy, I'm preaching better than you saying amen. Now, I didn't come to preach tonight. I just, this is teaching. This is teaching tonight here. What did I tell you to turn, please? Okay, Luke chapter 10. Look at this now. I just want you to get this in your spirit. You have to meditate it sometimes. Take time and say it for 7 days or something like that. Look what it said in verse 17. This is after Jesus had sent out some of his apostles, and 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. The devils are subject to us. Now, my title of this particular part of spiritual warfare is the ites had it, not the people. People weren't smart enough to hold it. They weren't strong enough to hold it. The ites had it. The demons had it. But they were holding the people, and they were using the people to hold back what belongs to you. So we got to deal with the devil. We wrestle not, come on, against people. It's the devil we're dealing with. Look what it says here in verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you what? Power. That word power does not mean dynamite. It means authority. It comes from the Greek word exousia or exousia, which means authority, to tread on what? Serpents, keep going. Scorpions, and what else? Underline all the power of the enemy. Underline it. All the power. All the power he has. Everything he can muster. As many demons as he can try to use to hold you back. We're giving you power over all of them. Say amen to this. And nothing... I said, and nothing shall my enemies hurt you. Now, don't forget the next verse. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The spirits are subject to you. The spirits are subject to you. Every demon in your house causing strife is subject to you. Come on now. Oh, I'm telling you, this is good stuff, folks. Executing that authority. It's one thing to have it. It's another thing to execute. See? You can have all this authority all your life and never execute it. And the devil's just running things. And because people are not spiritually discerning, they think it's people. Well, he's talking about me like that. Well, you don't know what's behind it. Here was Paul in Acts chapter 16. We read it on last Sunday, I think. And here's Paul, and he went down over to Macedonia there, and there was a woman, thought start advertising for it. These men are the great men of God. And she was a woman who had a spirit of what? Divination. What's divination, somebody? I mean, a soothsayer. She was a soothsayer. He's a fortune teller. So we learned that you and I are not supposed to be caught in having our fortunes read or told or Ouija boards or tarot cards or seances. Well, it sounded just like my great-grandmama. You're not supposed to be there. That's a demonic spirit. You calling them 800 numbers? That's a demon female impersonator. I ain't gonna go into that. That's done, sir. Don't even invest in it now. It's that world. And the enemy had control the whole world. Now, God's coming back in. He produces a new race of people. Now, let me just show you this right real quick. I know you got Romans chapter. Well, let me show you. Romans chapter 5. Let's just look at that real quick. Romans chapter 5. Well, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to go to the fortune teller. Well, you know it now. Look at verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by what? Sin. So the death passed to how many men? All men. For how many have sinned? All have sinned. You know what that verse is to me? That's a revelation of the blessing of Abraham and the power of that blessing. Now, the blessing of Abraham is the same blessing that was on Adam. And that blessing was working through him. It was so powerful, it will allow him to take the garden and take the garden and spread the garden throughout the whole earth. Now, you know the earth needed help, because when he got put out of the garden because of sin, wasn't nothing out there but thorns and thickets. Okay? So he was coming out there to replenish that and make the whole earth the garden spot of the universe. But once he sinned, the blessing reversed and became a curse. And it was so powerful through this one man, by one man, till the Bible says in Hebrews that the heavenly utensils in heaven had to be cleansed with blood, with the blood of Jesus. That means that sin went all the way up to, but not including, the throne of God. That's how powerful the blessing is reversed. That same blessing is on your life. You can go into a place that's burnout. You can go into a neighborhood that's tore up. You can and make them the garden spot of the...
Yeah.
All right. Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 6 real quick. Genesis chapter 6. Whoa. Genesis chapter 6. Hallelujah. I'm going to get somewhere tonight. Genesis chapter 6. All right. Because of Adam's sin, now Satan has taken over the earth. All right. Look what he did. You ready? Verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. Now, what was the devil trying to create here in the earth? A new race. Got it? The giants or the fallen angels mated with the women and produced giants. Okay? Now, next verse. And God saw that the wickedness of man was what? Great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. How long? Continually. Can you imagine that? Every thought is nasty. Every thought. Okay. Now let's go over to Genesis chapter 10, please. Let me know when you get there. Amen. All right, verse 1. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, Noah was a man who God found because Noah was found a righteous man. And God took Noah and his family and saved them. Now, God saved them because if they hadn't gotten saved, God would not have any seed to start the new generations. Are you following what I'm saying? Because the water covered the earth and swallowed up every person. Now, Noah was 120 years building the ark, and he was preaching. And he was telling people to change their ways, to repent, but they wouldn't. Can you imagine being preached to 120 years and won't change? He kept saying, it's going to rain. So now, Noah has three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And these are three specific anointings that he gave to them. And you remember Tudor Bismarck's talk, he talked about having 2 days' wages apiece. When he said 2 days' wages, meaning 2,000 years. So there were 2,000 years that each one of these lines of people reigned. And after that 6,000 years, which we are now, we're at the end of that 6,000 years. Now we're about to go into something called the millennium. Okay? That's the seventh. And so what has happened now is everybody didn't have their time to reign. Now you're going to see the time of the church. It's going to be a whole new race of people mixed with all them. Because see, if you look at Shem's life, Shem was a Semitic people, or we call them Asian people. You look at Ham's life, it was a darker race of people, and look at Japheth's life, Caucasian or European people. So these three people had all each time to reign. Now, look what it says here in verse 6. And the sons of Ham, Cush, Mizraim, and Put, and Canaan. And the sons of Cush, and he began to name them, and verse 8, and Cush beget who? Nimrod. Okay, now Cush, you've heard of Dr. Creflo Dollar talking about Cushites. He said, y'all Cushites, you know who he's talking about, black folk. And and because they came from Ham, okay? Now, Cush beget Nimrod. Nimrod began to be mighty one in the earth, and he was mighty, a mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, that before the Lord, the Hebrew translation is he was against God. Okay? So Nimrod, watch this, verse 9, for he was a mighty hunter before the Lord, for it is said, even Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was what? Babel. Now we get the word Babylon, okay? So the world system that you see out here now is Babylonian. It came from him, through him, from Satan. Now Satan was using him to establish a world system. And that world system is a system by which people cooperate with it, they get promoted in it. Got it? Now, it's like a body that is mystical, but it is a body of people that Satan has put in place to control this earth through that system. Now, just stay with me just for a minute. Buying and selling people. overcharging people, so forth and so on. Get a job. Oh, that's his system. God never gave an Adam a job. He gave him work. Amen. Work is different. Work taps into your potential. Inside of you is a genius. Wow. Work is designed to pull it out. Got it? And you got to stay in your lane. You got to get the kind of work that you have the genius to perform. Yeah, yeah. Now, the devil tries to talk you into be a jack of all what? Trades and a master of none. Why? So he can keep control of you. Because you can rise up in genius. When you rise up in genius, you'll rise up in money. Okay. All right. Now, my point to you is there's a whole new system. And that's what I've been teaching on for I don't know how long. Called the kingdom of God. Because in the midst of Babylon, here comes a new system called the system of the kingdom. And it's coming in to not repair a Babylonian system, but to take over it. God is not coming to fix it. He's coming to replace it. Say amen to this. Okay? And the system of the kingdom of God is a system of sowing and reaping. The system of Babylon is a system of buying and selling. That's all they know because there ain't no power in the seed. But only in the kingdom can you sow and get 100-fold back. So your job is not your source. It's seed. And you take the seed, sow it into the kingdom, and it'll produce a whole new reality. Y'all got what I'm saying? You'll never be broke another day in your life. Say it. I'll never be broke another day in my life. All right. Now, whoo, Lord. Okay. Now, I stayed a little bit too long on that. So he chose a man named Abraham. So Abraham was chosen by God, and God was going to start a whole new race of people through him. So let's go to Numbers now. Numbers chapter 13, please. All right, this is when Moses sent the children of Israel, 12 spies, out to spy out the land of Canaan. Now understand, they had come out of Babylonian captivity, and they were there in the wilderness. But God had plans for them to go into a place called where? Canaan, or the promised land, all right? And so now they went to spy out the promised land to bring back a report. And verse 26, watch this, come on down. And when they came to Moses and Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land, they told him and said, we came to the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the what? Children of Anak there. The who? Amalekites dwell in the land to the south. The what? Hittites. And the what? Jebusites. And the what? Amorites and dwell in the mountains. And the what? Canaanites dwell by the sea and the coast of Jordan. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, wait a minute, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against these people, for they are what? Stronger than we are. And they brought up what kind of report? Evil report. Verse 33, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as what? Grasshoppers, and so were we where? In their sight. Let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 9, please. Deuteronomy chapter 9. I think that's where I want to go. Praise God. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Now notice what happened is when they were going into the promised land, all of a sudden they encountered giants. Now, what were the giants doing? As I shared with you before, let me see if Deuteronomy chapter 9 is a place where I want to go. Let's just read it. Verse 1. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over this Jordan this day to go in to possess nations, what? Greater and what? Mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, and a people, what? great and tall, and the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest, of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Now, these are giants. Now, what I told you is we went through some. We went through the Rophiums, we went through the Aviums, we went through the Zamzumiums, we went through the Anakims, we went through the Emums. We were showing you that each one of these giants and these particular tribes of people were guarding every entrance to the promised land. That Satan had selected the best land, and he was guarding that land, and that land was supposed to be for God's people. Now, here, God's people are going to have to get it, but they're going to have to take it. Lord have mercy. So now, let's go back to Genesis chapter 22, please. Genesis chapter 22. Now, God spoke this to Abraham, and anytime God releases his word, it's going to come to pass. Genesis chapter 22, and let me know when you get there by saying, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Look at verse 15, please. All right. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall do what? Possess the what? Gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be what? Blessed, because thou hast what? Obeyed my voice. Now, his seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. What is gate, somebody? What do I mean when I say gate? What does that represent? Okay, the gate of a city. It's the authority. If I can get the gates, I can take the city. Now, you've seen that sometimes on some of these old movies, and you see them battering rams, battering against the gates. If they can ever get those gates, they can take the city. You got what I'm saying? Now, let's go over to Matthew chapter 16, please. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Let me know when you get there. All right, verse 13. And Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked the disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art who? The Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my who? Father, which is where? In heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art who? Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church. Keep going. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, so here are the gates, and the gates are holding the promises, because that's the promised land. And the gates are set up by Satan to hold back what God has given to you. Got it? And they're guarded by giants. Now, these might not be physical giants today, but these are people who got political clout. Come on now. These are people who got a bunch of money. And things that belong to us could be held back by people who are being used by the enemy to hold back things and keep them for the devil. But God is going to give us the ability to go against them gates. And the gates of hell shall not be able to hold us. us back. And God said, if you bind the strong man, come on, you can plunder his house. That means that if you take care of the one in charge, you can get everything that belongs to you. Now understand, in the Old Testament, it was a type of. In other words, God, now he's raising his people up, and they got to go in there, and they got to take that land. Now understand, they were hesitant. This first group didn't want to go in. They had to die out. Then God raised up their children and took them in. Changed leadership on them. Changed from Moses, who was a man of mercy, to Joshua, a man of faith. And he said, come on, we about to go in. Now let's go to Joshua chapter 1, please. Joshua chapter 1. How many people of faith I got up in here? Let's go get our stuff. That's what that whole song is about. Let's go get our inheritance. Come on, it's time for us to get our inheritance. It doesn't belong to the devil. Say amen to that. And I got some news for you. It's already paid for. That's the good news. The good news is it's already paid for, Doc. Your house, your cars, your, come on now. It's that boat, come on. And that new dress, that new, that education, it's already paid for. It's only the devil that'll try to get you to pay for it again. For. I said paid for. Everything you'll need in this earth is already paid for. You know why? Because it already belonged to you anyway. It don't belong to the devil or his buying and selling bunch. It belongs to the people of God. And God is going to get it back over into your hands so that you can shout. Right. Joshua. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, came to pass, the Lord spake unto Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go with this Jordan, thou and this people, all this people, unto the land which I do what? Give, not sell, to you, to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place, come on, the sole of your foot shall tread upon, keep going, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness is this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Watch this, there shall not any man, underline, any man. I don't care who they are. I don't care how much money they got. I don't care how much political position they got. I don't care what fame they got. Shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life as I was with Moses. Come on. I'm going to be with you. Keep going. I will not fail you. Come on. Or ever let you down. All right. Here's Joshua. Joshua's going on in. Now let me just cover one place because, let me get to cover two places and then we'll have to conclude here. Joshua chapter 6. Whew, Lord. Let me cover one more place. Joshua 5 verse 9. You should have it on the same page. Have you got it? And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day, I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. You know what reproach means? Shame. Shame. Some of y'all been ashamed, been broke, you've been ashamed. Some of them been hurting, been doing this, so forth. Whatever it is that the devil had put on you, I'm rolling it off. Come on, I'm rolling off that. My people shall never be ashamed. Watch this now. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, verse 10, and kept the Passover the 14th day of the month at even in the plain of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow. And after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. Watch this. And the manna did what?
Ceased
on the morrow, after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel, come on, manna anymore, but they did eat what? Of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. That manna was God working for them. And when you're growing in the Lord, He'll work for you. But at some point in your life, He's going to want to work with you. Come on now. He's going to want to have you to take part in what He's about to do. Say amen to that. All right. So next, Joshua then met up with a man, saw a man with a sword drawn, and he said, "Who are you?" The man, it was an angel. And Joshua asked him a question that I don't think I would ask him. He said, "Are you for us or for them?" You know what the angel said? I'm going to put it in my own words. Neither. Neither. He's on God's side. See, he's on God's side. He's on the side of things that are right. So here's this angel. He's going to be going before Joshua. He's saying, "I'm not taking sides. I'm taking over." All right, now. So when you look at this, the last part I want you to see is the ites. Now, Joshua went up against Jericho. Jericho came down and they took it. But in Joshua chapter 9, very quickly, please. You ready? Here was a group that worked deception on Joshua. Now, here's Joshua. You can read it yourself. Now, he's going over the sea to Lebanon, to the Hittites, the Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, so forth and so on. They all heard of him. Now, I understand they got to work something to break his pace. Verse 3, "And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done what he'd done unto Jericho and Ai, they did work willingly and went and made as if it were, had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their donkeys and wine bottles and old that were old and rent and bound them up and old shoes and so forth." Case in point. They then took things that looked like they had been traveling a long time, but they really came from right around the corner down there at 35th Street. All right. Now, they said to Joshua, verse 8, and they said to Joshua, "We are thy servants." And Joshua said to them, "Who are you?" And they said, "We, from whence you come?" And they said, "From a very far country." Lying now. But notice what they got. They got clothes and evidence that looked like they were telling the truth. I'm saying, when you go into Canaan, you can't trust nothing but the word. Oh, Lord have mercy. Come on now. Because what they're trying to do is they're trying to hook on with him. Now, I've got it here in my notes, and they are called the Hevites. The Hevites means villager. Villager. Or wickedness of the spirit of deception. That's a Hivite or Havite. And they came from a city called Gibeon. Now the Gibeonites, through deception, were able to enter into a treaty with Joshua because it said that Joshua failed to seek the Lord. Don't let nobody try to make any kind of partnership with you that God didn't tell you to go into. And so what happened then is that Joshua did that. And once Joshua did that, what happened was, verse 16, "And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them." Now understand, if Joshua would have taken just a little time to seek the Lord. Come on now. Now I'm saying that that particular spirit is a spirit that's designed to set up relationships with God's people and enter into treaties so that they could control your operation and keep you from the fullness of what God has called you to. And sometimes that spirit can hook on with people in marriage. The Bible says, don't be unequally, oh, Lord have mercy. So if you're in one and you're already in it, let's pray for a miracle that you can get him saved or her saved so that y'all can be equally yoked. Say amen to that. But deception took place. Why? Because Joshua looked only on the outside and he ended up with a partner he didn't want. So I'm saying that was the Hivite spirit. The Perizzite spirit is a robbing spirit. It is a spirit designed that if you take two steps forward, it's designed to make you make two steps backwards. It is a spirit that is coming to try to steal the progress that you can make. And you'll buy a new car and he'll wreck it for you. I'm just saying these are all spirit. The Jebusite spirit, it's a trodden spirit. It is called, that's what it is in Hebrew, trodden. It means to tread underfoot. It's a spirit that attacks emotions with negativity. As soon as you start going forward, it'll start telling you, you can't do that. There ain't no way that that's going to work out. This is not right for you. You may as well quit. This marriage will never make it. You will never have that new job. So forth and so on. Now, all of these are spirits. And the last one is a spirit, the Hittite spirit. This is a spirit that installs doubt in your mind. It manifests in a way that it makes you become fearful of taking the next step. It really works in Christians in giving and in money matters. That's why most Christians have not moved any further in years in money matters, because it comes in to assault the mind and tell you that you're not going to make it. The last spirit is the Amorite spirit. That's a spirit of slander. That spirit reminds you of your past. It reminds you of everything that you did wrong. It's called a babbler in the Hebrew. It's a spirit that's a tale bearer. It accuses you day and night of the progress that you have made. But I'm telling you now, any man that is in Christ has become a new race. And I'm giving you power to tread serpents and scorpions, come on, and over all the power of the devil.
Yeah.
I had a guy when we were at Lake and Pulaski, he's come over there. He said, man, he said, Pastor, I don't like to come over here. I said, why? This is on the west side. He said, every time I come over here, I have to do drugs. Mm. He said, but while I'm over there on the south side, I'm okay. Now, those are territorial spirits. But look how they're controlling his mind. It wasn't him that thought about the drugs. It was the spirit. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Come on, but against principalities. When I talk about billionaire status, some people in here, in your mind, you start criticizing me. That's a spirit.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
That's a spirit. You're being plagued by a spirit. You get that word of God and study what I've given you and drive that spirit out of your mind. That's all I got. Listen, I got to go. Anybody here, you need to be saved. That's all I'm going to tell you. You need to be saved.